Okay, Chevra. Good evening. This week's parasha is Parashas Emor. Emor la Kohanim b'nei Aaron. The Torah says, "Va'amarta lehem le'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav." That there's an issur for Kohanim to make themselves tamei. They can only become tamei to their relatives, imo aviv, bno bito achiv, and achoso habesula. Right. Those are the only people that Kohen is allowed to be mitamei to. That's what it says in the Torah. Effectively, what the Torah is saying is that a Kohen has an Isser to be metame to a non-relative. To a relative, the Pashtus is that the Kohen has a mitzvah to be metame. The nature of that mitzvah probably is something along the lines of a mitzvah to show to be mechal al kedushas kohunaso. The fact that as a Kohen, it's always usser to become tame, and now that a relative died, the Kohen is making himself tamei, that shows the great distress that he has over the loss, etc. And that itself is the kavod for the mace, the fact that the Kohen is mechalal kedushas kohunaso. So there's an iser found in this week's parasha that a Kohen can't be metamei. And Marva Amarta tells me, not only can the Kohen not be metamei, but lahazir gedolim ala ketanim. I'm not allowed to go and be metamei another Kohen. No, I can't go and take a Kohen and bring the Kohen to the Tumah. That's also forbidden. Now, what we are going to discuss tonight is what's the nature of Tumas Kohanim, right? In other words, how am I magdir this Aveira? But in order to get there, we're going to begin with a Shaila that came up, I'd say, 10 or 12 years ago. They noticed that all of the flights that left Eretz Yisrael were flying over a cemetery in Chulon. Now, everyone knows that Kohanim are very nervous about becoming Tamei or Mace, so when they, pardon the expression, package a mace to send it to Eretz Yisrael, they have like this whole special way of packaging the mace to make sure that the Tumah doesn't go up and be Metamei the Kohen. You probably saw pictures on Facebook of this fellow who was sitting on the plane, totally covered in a plastic bag. It looks a little bit humorous, right? But the idea is that this fellow is worried that maybe he's going to become tummy. So you cover yourself up in a plastic bag and somehow, and you put stuff on the floor, somehow that means that you're in your own ohel and whatever tuma is there won't get you. How exactly this works, the details of that are very complicated. I should point out, the Din of Tumas Kohanim require tremendous knowledge, not only of Shulchan Aruch Yeridei, but of Mishnayos and Ohalos, and how Tumas spreads and the like. These are not simple dinim. Another years ago, actually, when Hirsch and Sons went out of business, remember Hirsch and Sons? He used to be here in the Bronx. So when they went out of business, so there was a discussion in the community that maybe Mount Sinai would be like the place where all avayers are held. So we had an issue that Breuers uses the gym during the day, and there's kids who are Kohanim. So I came up with a whole proposal about how we can seal off the doors from the upstairs to the downstairs so that even if we're having a levaya upstairs, it will be okay for the Kohanim to be downstairs. And I went to Rav Mantel. He says, Rabbi Schwartz, it is a potential pirtza. Something to that effect. I think I got his accent correct. I'm not sure. But I understand exactly what he was saying. In other words, Lamaisa, if you're going to do Levayas based on sealing up doors in a particular way, there's too much opportunity for human failure. So, but the Isser of Tumas Kohanim, the reason I bring that story is it's only, even for Ketanim. The Breuer's kids, right, using the gem, are some of them are Ketanim. I mean, probably most of them are Ketanim, no? So there is an Isser of Tumas Kohanim even for the kids that you can't be Metame a kid, right? Emar Vamarta. That's the sixth parish of Ahazir Gedolim al Katan. So we're going to talk about the question that came up a number of years ago, I'd say 10, 12 years ago, that they found out the flights that left Eretz Yisrael were flying over a cemetery in Chulon. And the question is, are Kohanim allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Are they allowed to fly to Eretz Yisrael? All the flights are going over the cemetery. So it became a big issue. Reb Fievel Cohen wrote a letter to Reb Oyashiv. It's printed in the journal Yeshurun, volume 10, where Reb Fievel says maybe you could be makel on this question based on a number of sfeikos. there's a famous, we're not going to talk about a number of these sfeikos. One of these sfeikos we will focus on. One of the sfeikos that Rabbi Feivel proposed is that there's a tshuva in the Shvus Yaakov that maybe our Kohanim Bezman Hazeh are not really Kohanim, Vadai, maybe they're only Safek Kohanim. And maybe that is a snifla hakel that we could use, and we can combine it with, there's a sheet of the Rash HaZaken that an Ohel Zarek, right? The Gemara in Gittin speaks about how Ohel Zarek is Lav Shmei Ohel, but it could be that Ohel Zarek is only Lav Shmei Ohel for something who's on top of the Ohel. But if something is inside the Ohel Zarek, perhaps it would be an Ohel to protect you from Tuma. Right? That's a sheet of the Rash HaZaken. The Pashtus and the Mishnayis is not like that, but this was another suffix that Reb Feivel mentioned his question to Reb Yashiv. And the third suffix that he mentioned is based on the sources that we have over here, which is a Rambam and a Ravid in Hilchos Nazirus, but it's also relevant for Hilchos Tumas Kohanim. Right? In Hilchos, we know that a Nazir can also not become Tame. I usually don't get Nazira Shilohs. I got one Nazira Shiloh. I told you about this. There's someone in town asked me a Shiloh that there's a person who decided that he's a Nazir, and the person who asked me a Shiloh, no, can he call this guy up to the Torah as a Nazir? So I said, I don't think that's a Shiloh you should be asking. The Shiloh you should be asking is, how can we get this guy out of his Nazirus? That's a Shiloh. Right? How can we be Matir? Right? That was the only Nazira Shiloh I ever got, which I thought was like really cool, but also quite troubling. So now, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Nazirus that if you have a Nazir who's Tomei Lameis Tuma Shiva, Bein Betuma Shehu Migaleach Aleihen Kamoshi Yisboya, Bein Betuma Shein Migaleach Aleihen Hareza Loka. There's certain Tumas that a Nazir is Migaleach, he shaves, other Tumas is not shaves. So like the Rambam, first of all, you get Malkus. Okay, if a Kohen, let's continue the Rambam, Halachot HaZayim, Nitmalameis pa'amim harbei, afapishu chayim malkus, ako achas va achas vashamayim, ein bezim malkinos va ela achas. Right? Even though you chayim malkus vashamayim for each one, but bezim only gives you one set of malkus. If they warn you in each time, then you get malkus each time. Ba'amir dvar ma'amurim, bishanit ma'upirish, v'chazar v'noga, o noso helhel. Avam haya nogea b'meis, adayin ha'meis b'yoda, v'nogea b'meis acher, Ain't no chayv ala achas apish hisribo al kol negiyah negiyah shari mechulah va'omeid. Zok the Rambam that if a kohen is holding a mace, and the he's speaking about a nazir, but it should be the same din for a kohen also. If a nazir is holding a mace, and then the nazir comes in contact with another mace, so in that situation you don't get malchus. The impression you get from the Rambam is that there's some iser involved. If you are, it's called tuma b'chiburin. If you become tamei while you're attached to other tuma, there's some iser involved, but there won't be malchus. Comes along the Ravid, and the Ravid presenting this whole shtickle Torah, he disagrees at some points in the Rambam. I underline one line in the Ravid at the end. V'ha'kohanim b'zman hazeh tamei meizhein, v'od ein alayin chi of tuma. The Ravid in the end of his discussion says all of our kohanim today are tamei meis anyway, and therefore there's no chi of tuma. And you get the impression from the Ravid, perhaps the Ravid is saying that it's not usur for a kohen bezman hazeh to become tamei lameis because he's already tamei. So Reb Feivel Komen, he sent the Shaila to Reb Yashiv, he says, maybe this is the third suffix that we have. Maybe the Kohen isn't a Kohen. Maybe it's an Ohel Zaruk, which will prevent Tuma for what's inside it, according to that one sheet of the Rash HaZaken. And maybe we hold like this Ravid, that once a Kohen is Tamei, the Kohen can become Tamei again. The Rambam doesn't sound like it's really permitted, but the Ravid sounds like it's really permitted. This is the Shaila that he asked. Now, it happens that when Reb Feivel sent the Shaila to Reb Yashiv, he writes in a note in the Shaila, like in the brackets, by the way, I'm not convinced that this Ravid is applicable today. You see, in the olden times, people used to die at home. And therefore, right, it was very likely that a Kohen at some point became Tamei. there was death all around. For us, death is something that's very distant, very far. Again, I'm not saying that this is better or worse. I think yesh ladon, which way it is. But for us, death is lemaisa, something that is very distant.
They're born in hospitals.
What?
They're born in hospitals.
Kohanim are born in hospitals, so it could be that they became tamei at that moment when they were born, if there was a mace in the hospital, perhaps. Although each hospital is built differently and you have to figure out where there are doors and right, what's sealed off. And today hospital wings are generally, the doors are closed. So it is possible that you're not tummy. But it could be that's why you're tummy. I don't know. But Rabbi Feivel Cohen, in his question to Rabbi Yoshev, raised the issue that who says even the Ravid is applicable today? Because who says our Kaihanim are tummy to begin with? Rabbi Yoshev, unfortunately, didn't take the bait. And he didn't deal with that issue. I would love to see a tshuva about that question. Maybe Kohanim today are not tummy at all. Right? But he didn't take the bait. Rabbi Yoshev just writes that he thinks it's also for the flights to go over the cemetery in Eretz Yisrael, for us, also for Kohanim to go over the cemetery, because we don't hold like that. Ravid, the Ravid, we'll see in a few minutes, might not have been saying that's mutter for a Kohen who's tummy to become tummy again. We'll see that. Even though Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Tshuva understands the Rebbe that way, but that's not the mainstream approach. And all the other sfeikos were not good. So Rebbe Yoshev felt it's aser. And because Rebbe Yoshev sort of had a bully pulpit, so they changed the flight patterns out of Eretz Yisrael. They don't fly over the cemetery in Chulon anymore.
Because of Bokas for Olo, right?
So the Tumah Ritzutza, the Tumah is all squashed in. It will go all the way up Adla Rakia, the Gemara says. So the Kohen should become Tamei. Rabbi Yoshev says, don't fly over the cemeteries. Now, it happens that they pointed out that afterwards that this Shaila isn't only Nogea to Eretz Yisrael. There's a cemetery right near LaGuardia.
Sure, he passes when you know.
Yeah. Right? And many of the flights, whoo, right over that cemetery, no?
So you don't fly from LaGuardia to Israel.
You don't fly. The flights from Kennedy. There's a cemetery in Bayside. Many of the flights from Kennedy go over the cemetery in Bayside. Now, again, it happens that with Kennedy, they always try to vary the flight patterns, no? Because the people in the five towns want to get a night's sleep at least one night a week or something. So they keep on varying the flight patterns. But it's not a simple shayla, right? It's not a simple shayla at all. What?
They can't land right away.
They circle. That could also be a problem, right? Well, you have to jump out. It's not so pasha. It's exactly what to do. Now, there were poskim. If you look in the journal Tchumen is like the religious Zionist journal of Halacha. So in Tchumen, they had a number of rabbonim. I could give you their names, actually, if you... Wait a second, as soon as I find where I put this on my notes. In Truman, in volume 22, so Rabbi Yaakov Epstein is mekal on flying over the cemetery in Chulon. Basically, his argument is that there are many sfeikos, right? The halach is a tumah ritzutza, the tumah is all squashed, it goes up ad l'rakia. But Tumah Ritzutza is if you don't have a full tefach. Without being too gruesome about things, but you might bury someone and you don't have a tefach between them and the coffin top. Or there's a shayla where the coffin itself is metame because it's golol and dofek, that's a din d'oraisa. In some places you don't have... In some places the way they bury mason is that, let's say the coffin is metame and they put the dirt right on top. So then there'll be Tumah Ritzutza. The Tumas Goyle will go all the way up. But there are other places, especially in Eretz Yisrael, they bury people and they put like concrete blocks on top of the kever. Now, it happens that with time, though, it could be that the mace begins to disintegrate and you don't and then you do have a full tefach between the mace and the blocks. And if you have a full tefach between the mace and the blocks on top, or the mace and the coffin on top, it could be if you have a full tefach over there, so then one could argue that then the tumah will not go all the way up. So that's a suffix. And once it's a suffik, this Rabbi Yaakov Epstein argued, so then we could have a rule that suffik tumen rishas harabim is tahar, and suffik tumen rishas harabim, the definition of rishas harabim in yanei tum is three people. If you have more than three people on the plane, which in all likelihood you do, no? So, it's suffik tumen rishas harabim. I'm not sure exactly that I'm flying over the cemetery, maybe right in between, at least with Bayside, maybe I'm going to miss, right? It's a rishas harabim, suffik tumen rishas harabim, suffik tahar. As we go on, we are going to question this assumption. Suffik tumen in rishas harabim. Lamaisa, this became a very big issue. Years before, though, Rav Shechter, prescient to this entire conversation, his Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, so Rav Shechter on page Reish Lamed Beis and following, says, you know what? He has a kula for flying over the cemeteries. Now, when did he give this shiur? He gave this shiur years ago when they dedicated the kolal, that Rav Shechter is Rosh Kola of. So the kolal is called the Marcus and Adina Katz Kolal. Marcus Katz, as his name indicates, is a Kohen. So Rav Shechter decided to give a shiur about whether it was mutter for Marcus Katz to fly from Mexico to the United States because maybe he's going to be flying over cemeteries. That was a shiur that Rav Shechter felt he should give at the dedication of the Katz Kolal. And Rav Shechter came with the Shtikl Torah, where he tries to argue that the nature of Tumas Kohanim is that it's usur for a Kohen lehiskarev lemeis, not necessarily tumei. Is the nature of tumas kohanim that a kohen can't become tumei? You're right. The tuma goes all the way up ad l'rakia. But Zakhtar Shechter, maybe the nature of tumas kohanim is not that you become tumei. Maybe the nature of tumas kohanim is that you're coming close to a mace. You're coming in close proximity to a mace, like his kareif mace. And therefore, one could argue that once you're above the clouds, he develops this based on the Gemara in Erevin, once you're above the clouds, it's not considered that you're kareif mace, and that was his kula. Now, this kula, of course, won't help if the cemetery is right near the airport. It only helps when you're up in the air, right? As Mary Poppins says, up in the atmosphere, in the stratosphere over there, right? But the kitzer, this is Rav Shechter's Shtikl Torah, that the nature of Tumas Kohanim is based on Lehiskare Vlameis, not the din of Tumah per se. So let's try to go through some of these sources quickly. First of all, look at the Pisrei Tshuva, the bottom of page 1. Yeah.
Tumas Kohen, Pashtus is Doraisa Bezman Hazeh?
Pashtus, yeah. 100%. I mean, is there a Kohen Litame is a din? So the question is whether you can rely on this suffix that maybe our Kohanim aren't real Kohanim. Most assume that we assume that Kohanim Bezman Hazeh are full-fledged Kohanim. There's a Gemara in Ksubis that says that you have to be Kohani Chazaka, that you need a certain tradition, that you're a Kohen. But that might be a special Din Zerabbanan for Avoda. That's what Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher writes in his Drishas Tzion. When they came up with the question about being Makriv Karbanis Bezman Hazeh, I think we spoke about that over here a number of weeks ago. He came up with the discussion about being Makriv Karbanis Bezman Hazeh. So someone said, but we don't have Kayhane Chazak anymore. Even the Rappaport, so everyone says, oh, use a Rappaport. Rappaports are not Kayhane Chazaka. But we don't know that their Elta Zeta worked on the Mizbeach. Rappaports are just that we know that the Vilna Gaon used the Rappaport for Pinyan Abens.
How about the Kohen gene?
The Kohen Sheen. I don't think it's proof positive. Especially because, remember, I'll be halacha, I could lose my kahuna if I marry a grusha. My genetic material is going to remain intact whether I marry a grusha or not, no? So, I don't know if Kohen Sheen is going to help much. It's a good question. It's an interesting discussion, but I don't think so. So now, the Pisrei Tshuva over here quotes in the Dagomer Ravava. Dagomer Ravava, as we know, is the Noda B'Yehuda, who writes, L'das HaRaivin in Hilchos Naziris, the Hechash HaKvar Tomei, Shuv Eino Muzar LaTuma, Imken Kayhanim Bezman Hazeh, not Muzar LaTuma, and even though we don't pass him like the Raivin, nonetheless, B'meis Oved Kochavim, Ika Svek Sveka. Zot the Noda B'Yehuda, maybe there's a Svek Sveka that Kohen Bezman Hazeh can be Metame to a Goyish HaMeis, because since there are some Rishon, Shachogas Mechaber Ramah, about whether Meisei Akum are Metame, Lamaisa, we assume that Meisei Akum are Metame. But the Ayah Rishon will assume that's not Matame. Maybe, says the Dog Omer Vava, you can start for Svek Sveka. That maybe the rabbits, right? Once you're Tame, you can become further Tame. Maybe Mesa Akamar not. Lechein Nefeyas, Nira Lefein Nistayt, in Mishirat Zalismach Bezela Hakel, in Thomas Ohel, Ein Mochen Beyado. He's only wanting to be make on Thomas Ohel. There's a whole discussion. There's a famous Shach, a Shvera Shach, that sounds like the following. There are two types of Thomas Ohel. There's what we call, there are three types of Thomas Ohel. One type of Thomas Ohel is that the mace goes over my head. Right? I'm here, you throw a mace on top of me. That's one Ohel. The mace is Mahel on me. Another type of Ohel is I'm Mahel on the mace. I'll bend over on the mace. Then there's a third type of Thomas Ohel, which is what we usually speak about, which is called Ohel Hamshacha. Ohel Hamshacha means both me and the mace are in the same room. No? We're under the same roof. Or roof, if you're from other parts of the country. But that's Olam Shach. There's a famous Shvera Shach that sounds like maybe Olam Shach is a din to Rabbanon. Very Shver. And the Noda Yehuda wants to say that maybe for Tumas Ohel you could be Mekal, right? Because you have an additional suffix, right? That perhaps there's this funny Shach, right? Maybe for Tumas Ohel you could be Mekal that a Koyim Bezman Azeh could be Metame to Mes Akum. That's what he originally said. Shuv Kasav. But then the Nod Yehuda writes further, Zuck the Nod Yehuda, I changed my mind, because I found that the Ravid doesn't really hold that it's mutter. Right, the Mishnah Malach assumes the Ravid holds its mutter, but the Ravid writes elsewhere that it's really usser. And Nachsam Seifer and the Tshuva writes that he was there when they showed the Ravid, the Tmim Deim, right, and this Tmim Deim was shown to know to be Huda, that the Tmim Deim of the Ravid holds that's really usser, it could be it's an Raisa. So Nod Yehuda changed his mind, Adkan, that's all the excitement here in this Pisrei Tshuva. So Lamaisa, relying on this Ravid, is difficult. But the question, though, is Riv Shachter Shtekel Torah. What is the evidence to say that the nature of Tumas Kaihanim is Lehiskarev Lameis, not Litame Lameis? And if that's the case, perhaps you can be Mekal when you are not really close to a mace. So the Shtekel Torah goes as follows. One could argue, Zakhtar Shachter, that this is precisely the Machlokes Rambam and Ravid. Remember, the Rambam says that a Kohen is already Tamei, can't become Tamei again. The Ravid says, perhaps, kind of, sort of, a little bit, that you can. Maybe that's the Machlokes. There's no additional Tumah. I'm holding a mace now, or I became Tamei this morning. Right, I'm not adding any tumah onto myself by becoming tummy later today, right? There's no additional tumah that I'm adding on, but I'm still coming close to a mace. Rambam says usser, the nature of the isser is lehiskare for mace. The Ravid says no, the nature of the isser is litame. If I'm not adding any tumah on, if I became tummy yesterday and then I become tummy today, I'm adding on a day of tumah. No, but if I became tummy today, and I become tummy today nochamol. So I'm not adding any tumma on. So maybe that's machlokes Rambam and Ravid. Then Rav Shechter suggests that maybe this is also the discussion in this famous Minchas Chinuch. Remember, let's go back. One of the svaras that we quote from this Rabbi Yaakov Epstein to be make on flying over the cemetery. One of the svaras was that it's a suffix tumah in Rishas HaRabim, right? Maybe the mace disintegrated a bit, and maybe you have a poseach tefach, maybe it doesn't go through, and since there are three people, suffix tumah in Rishas HaRabim. Well, hold it. You see, the Vilna Gaon is quoted, I shouldn't say the Vilna Gaon is quoted, after the Gaon was nifter, so the Bezin in Vilna put out a chayrim that you're not allowed to say Torah from the Gaon. You're not allowed to say Torah in the name of the Gaon, unless it's an official shtickle Torah that's approved by a group of Talmidim. I think they had four Talmidim who were approved. Because everyone was saying, the Gaon said, the Gaon said, the Gaon said, and it wasn't true. It was like make believe.
Just like the rub, we could
wax poetic over here. But the Bez and the Vilna put out him to say Torah in the name of the Gaon. Okay. That's.
Unless it was written down,
unless one of the official Talmidim approved it. There was a sefer that they put in Chayrim that's actually popular today called the Aderes Eliyahu, which is the Perish Hagra on Chumash. And they put that in Chayrim. They said this is not one of the official books. Not an authorized text. Okay, later on, the amount of Torah of the Gra really increased considerably. Or, fine. One of the
Shtikot. There's
a Siddur Aderes Eliyahu. Also, Rabbi Lopiansky. Rabbi Lopiansky has said it right, 100%. Aderes Eliyahu is the Sefer of the Gra on Chumash. So one of the Vertloch that he has is like this. The Torah writes in Pasha Shoftim, Ki Yipalei Mimcha Davar LaMishpat, Bein Dam LaDam, Bein Din LaDin, Bein Nega LaNega, Zok LaGoyin, that there are three different areas of Halacha. There's Tum and Tahara, there's Iser V'Heter, and Iser V'Heter, Tum and Tahara, and Dine Momenes. Ki Yipalei Mimcha Davar Bein Dam LaDam, right? Bein Dam Nida, that's Tum and Yonat, that's Iser V'Heter. There's a shayla in kosher treif. Then there's a shayla being din ladin. Din ladin is dine mominus, right? And then there's a shayla being negal and negal, that's tum and tahara. And these areas of halacha are governed differently. Now, if I have a suffix in dine mominus, I pask in that suffix based on hamotzi mechaveiro alaf haraya. Right? If I have a suffix in tum and tahara, I pask in the suffix based on suffix tum and rishas hayocha versus suffix tum and rishas harabim. If I have a suffix in Iser V'Heter, I pass in suffix d'Oraisa l'Hachmir, suffix d'Rabbanon l'Hakel. No? I have three different ways of governing Sveikis, three different areas of Halacha. And as Shakespeare said, never the twain shall meet. Right? Three totally different areas of Halacha. Shine. Ah. Yesh la'ayin. What is Tumas Kohanim? Is it a din in Tuma and Tahara, which is governed by the rules of Suffik Tumen Rishus HaYachid and Suffik Tumen Rishus HaRabim? Or maybe it's a din Isser V'Heter. There's an Isser for a coin to become Tameh. It's like eating a piece of treif. And I have to paskin a Shaila based on Suffik D'Oraisa or Suffik D'Rabbanon. This seems to be a Suffik of the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch has a question. V'hinei, lo emaneh milichto masha'ini yodeya. I'm not going to hold back writing that which I don't know. Someone who's a bucky, apparently not the Minchas Chinuch. Unbelievable, right? Stapically, hine yadua force and b'cho hashas, the sovetum rishas hayachid is tamei, that we learn from Saita, and it's definitely tamei, like we say in Sota, many places in Shas, and sovetum rishas harabim is tahar, right? Or based on the reasons, etc. So the Minchas Chinuch wants to know, what's the din of a Kohen becoming Tummy in the Suffolk Tummy situation? That's your Shaila. So ordinarily, the Shaila is understood. How am I Magdi, or how do I put Suffolk, how do I put Tumas Kohanim? Is it in Isser V'Heter category, is it in the category of Tum and Tahara? But if Shechter suggests that maybe there's a different ways of looking at the Shaila. Maybe the Shaila might be a little bit different. Maybe the Minchas Chinuch's question is that is this it's a din in Tum and Tahara, correct? But maybe the nature of Tum and Tahara by Tumas Kohanim Shalola his Kariv Lames. There is a din in Tuma. But maybe the nature of this din of Tuma is not that we pass him whether Tuma is Mutter or Usser, Savi Tumar Shazayas, Savi Tumar Shazram. Maybe a Kohen can't become close to a mace. And that's why it would be usher, even the suffix tumah and rishus harabim, perhaps. Even though it's going to be tahar, right? But am I karov lames? Yeah, I'm karov lames. I'm karov lames. It's going to be usher. So if Shechter wants to say maybe that that's the suffix in the Minchas Chinuch. So far he's suggesting to Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, and maybe it's a shaila in the Minchas Chinuch. Then Rav Shechter goes on, and he speaks about the famous discussion in the Shach. The Shach writes from the Sefer Rokeach. I give you the Shach over here. That the Rokeach writes, "Eishes Kohen Meuberes is allowed to enter an Ohel Hameis. Right? The wife of a Kohen who's pregnant is allowed to enter an Ohel Hameis. Why? Because of a Sfek Sfeika. Maybe the baby's going to be a Nefel. Imtim Shalomah, the baby's not a Nefel. Maybe it's going to be a female. Right? Sfek Sfeika, it's mutter. So everyone and their uncle jumps up and down and say, one second, why do you have to make up based on Sfek Sfeika? The baby is inside, it's Balua, and the din is that Tahara Balua is not Matame. That's the Magen Avraham's question. So if Shechter quotes that Reb Chaim Ozer and Achiezer and his brother-in-law Reb Chanan, they both say that no, you misunderstood, right? It could be that Tahara Balua is not Tamei, but it's still considered Krave Al Ameis. It's still called that you're coming close to a mace. And maybe that's why it's going to be Asar, if not for the Sfek Sfeika. You're right, there's no Tama. But maybe there's a new din of Krave Al Ameis, that there's no Tama. It's Balua, you're inside the body, there's no Tama. But it's still Krave Al Ameis. If the Kayin, the baby inside, is coming Tama to Ameis, it's Krave. This actually with Shechter says, based on Hishtiko Torah, that maybe the din is Krave Al Ameis is Asar. So he had the shayla. I actually had the shayla at one point in life. I never told my wife. I'll tell you the story. One time, my wife had a very late-term miscarriage. It was like in the eighth month already. It was actually a very difficult situation on many levels. It was not comfortable. We had to go and bury the baby. We called the Chevra Kaddish. I actually had a disagreement with Rabbi Katzenstein. I wanted to name the baby because it says in the Ur Zeruah that you should choose names in the family so the Asid Lovel, they could recognize you. Rabbi Katzenstein said that the Kehillah has traditions of which names you give to Nephilim. It's unbelievable. The Kehillah has traditions about everything. But this was a difficult thing. So one of the difficult issues I never mentioned to my wife was as follows. At that time, we shared a babysitter with a family downstairs. And the question was, like, we knew the baby was dead already, but we had to wait a day for the appointment for the baby to come out. The shaila was my wife allowed to be in the apartment with a kohen to go and pick up the other kids from the babysitter, right? Do you have to tell the kohen, like, get out? And so Rav Shechter has a suffix about this. In this piece, because if the nature is Kreva Mameis, so it could be that that baby is called a mace, and then the Kayin can't. So Rav Shechter is misopic about this. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to tell my wife. I asked Rabbi Willig what to do. Right. So Rabbi Willig says, no one's koshish for this. That's why. One of the good things about Rabbi Willig is sometimes he answers a shayla in a very definitive sort of way. So I'm like, okay, fine, end of conversation. No one is koshish. Then I heard from other guys in yeshiva that Rabbi Willig all day is like walking around talking to people about the shayla to try to bring rai as well. But like, his initial reaction was like, Schwartz, don't make yourself nuts. That was basically his approach. So whatever, we didn't make ourselves crazy. I assume my wife is not going to listen to this year. Fine. So now, that was the story then. So that's part of the same shayla. The nature of Tumas Kohan, if it's Krave Al Ameis, so it could go both ways, right? It could go both ways. Rav Shechter argues that maybe this is the pshat in the din in Shulchan Aruch about a goses. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes in Shin Ayin that a Kohen should not go into an ohel with a goses. When someone is in the process of dying, a Kohen shouldn't go in. They say the story, actually, that Rav Kook, when he was al Eres Davai, when he was about to die, so Rav Kook had all of his close Talmidim around. It was very holy. It was mamish, a special time. But Tzvi Pesach Frank was there, and the Nazir of Yerushalayim was there, and the Reb Shariyosh, that's Reb Shariyosh of Cohen's father, was the Nazir of Yerushalayim. Reb David Cohen, right? Reb Shariyosh of Cohen's father is a Nazir of Yerushalayim, so he was a Kohen. He was a Nazir Olam. A Nazir Olam is allowed to be Metamei Lameisim, right? But he was a Kohen, so he couldn't be Metamei. Reb Yechiel Mechotuk Kaczynski was there. Rav Kook had a lot of the Chashuvim of Yerushalayim around him, and at one point he turns to the Nazir and says, you have to leave now, I'm becoming a Goses. Right, the Mechaber paskins that a Kohen should not become in the same room as a Gose. So the Ramah writes, Yesh Matirim, but Tov Lahachmir. That's what the Ramah writes. If Shechter says, what's this whole discussion? You're a Gose, so you're not dead yet. So what's the Pshat? She says, oh, well, maybe that's the Pshat. Maybe the Pshat is that's a new din of Krav Ol HaMeis. And when you think about it, a Gosis is by definition Krav Ol HaMeis.
But you're using the word Krav.
Now, this is different Krav. Yeah, this isn't Krav in the sense of proximity and distance. Yeah. This is Krav in the sense of time. But perhaps you could argue that if the nature of Tumas Kohanim is Krav Ol HaMeis, then this is also going to be a problem because you're coming Karov to a mace. That's an interesting shtickle Torah, that the nature of Tumas Kohanim is that you're going to become Karov a mace. It happens that the Bach assumes that's Osir Me'ikar Hadin, but the Bach says something about that if you're there already, you don't have to leave. Usually a Kohen, if he's in the room and the mace dies, it's a discussion of Trumas Hadesha, and if you're sleeping and you're undressed and the mace...
Yeah,
I mean, according to Shulchan Aruch, there are more quotes in the Trumas Hadesha, and the Nodi Behuda discusses how we paskin, right? But, absolutely. So this is one of the questions in terms of the nature of Tumas Kohanim by a Goseis. It could be that's because of Krava la Mace in a different sort of way that's based on Krava. Then Rav Shechter in the same Shtickle Torah says that maybe this is the Pshat in Mase Akum. Right, we pass in that Kohen should not be Mutami to Mase Akum. Many Rishonim hold that Akum are not Mutami but Ohel. So why should I Kohen not become Tami to Mase Akum? Maybe this is the answer. Maybe there's no tumah, but there's krav ol hameis. By a gosis also, there's no tumah. He's alive, but it's krav ol hameis. For this reason, Rav Shechter entertains that by a gosis, let's ask the following question. Is a kohen allowed to be in the room with his relative when the relative is a gosis? Now, you're going to say, Schwartz, you're nuts. Of course, when he dies, you're allowed to be there. So, of course, when he's about to die, you're allowed to be there, no? Rav Shechter argues, whoa, maybe not so pashat. If the nature of Gosis is because it's potential tumah, so you're right. But the nature of Gosis is krav ol hameis, mehechates a kohen is allowed to enter the situation of krav ol hameis at all, even for a mesa who will be allowed to be metame to. That's already wild.
What did you say about Akum at the excellent level of something? He's one of the 10 lost tribes, I think he's a Murano.
Yeah, so that's actually a whole discussion in some of the classical Achronim, classical Rishonim already, that why don't we say maybe everyone is a Suffolk Jew? Yes. Because they got lost, and maybe it's a Kavua, and Kavua is Kemachzal Machzadami, and we don't Chitav on Rov. What's it called? The Sefer HaKrisus, one of the early Rishonim deals with this question. There's a lot to say about those questions. Shagasari has something about this in one of his Jews also. Yeah. Okay, there's a lot to say about that question as well. But the fact is, what Rav Shechter entertains that Krav Ol HaMeis could be the nature of the Israel of Tumas Kohanim. Another Shiloh that I had once. These are not pleasant Shilohs. So it happens that my aunt Branko Weintraub, Zichrona Levracha, she has a lot of Zichuyos. She left a lot of mine at Stucco when she passed away. So Branko's first husband was a man named Abrasha Stavsky, who was killed by Yitzchak Rabin on the Altalena. That was my aunt's first husband. My aunt's second husband was my uncle. My aunt's third husband was this guy Jacob Weintraub. Jacob Weintraub had been the secretary of Emanuel Ringelbaum in the Warsaw Ghetto. Jacob Weintraub lived his entire life that he felt he should have been cremated. And when he died, he wanted to be cremated. And he was cremated. Okay. Why? Because he felt he was supposed to be cremated years and years beforehand. This was his thing. So there's a discussion about...
I mentioned this once before.
So there was a discussion in the Achronim about whether you bury cremation ashes. Usually we don't. Reb Sadia writes, that a person is cremated, doesn't believe in the physical tchias amesim, and therefore we don't bury them in a regular cemetery. Rav Shachter paskind that this guy who was cremated because he wanted to be with everybody else, that we should bury him. My father's the head of the Chevra Kadisha, so he got a grave, opened up the grave, put it in. The rabbi was very opposed to this. The rabbi said, you can't do it. We didn't tell the rabbi that it was done. It's done. Shine. So, okay, so we buried Jacob. We actually buried Jacob's first wife also, whatever. That's a different story. My wife was like reading Jacob's autobiography one Friday afternoon, and Jacob writes that Barbara had also been cremated. That was his first wife, and Barbara's ashes were in his favorite sculpture, which is like a green fist. So I was like, oh, that's interesting, green fist. That's right over there on top of the piano. So she picks it up and says, Barbara!
Oh my
God. Right? Barbara was in on our piano. So she says, what about Tumas Kehanim to cremation ashes? So, Rav Shechter points out, it's actually here in the Pesachei Tshuva, the bottom source. He quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Tshuvas, "Demes hanisraf b'mikra yidei dzleiko, kagon ha-kadoshin hanisraf and v'vi min hagein is koyin metame la'afaro. Afim yesh lo kovim yisraelim. El ha-hechad ichruchi b'zeh yesh la-hachmir shalob b'mes mitzvah." Okay. In other words, he says that a koyin is allowed to be metame to Efer hanisrafim. There are other achronim who disagree and say a kohen can't be metami to Efer HaNisrafim. Rav Shechter argues that maybe this is the issue. Maybe everyone holds their mishnayis that Efer is not metame. Cremation ashes are not tame. But maybe a kohen still can't be in contact with cremation ashes because it's called krev ol ames. And like Rav Shechter is trying to explain, the nature of tumas kohanim is krev ol ames. If that's the case, that could explain what those achronim who are machmir and assume, right, the sefer lechem haponim, the bottom line, this pischei tshuva, that's also a kain latami la efer hames.
So, kareva vis-a-vis tumo, kareva can be a kula, it can be a kula because of the airplane.
Right.
It can be a kumro because of...
The efer and because of...
It's very hard, at first glance, it's hard to understand why... Like
Krev
would be a
tumah,
it would be a
chumah
vis-a-vis
tumah. Because Lamaisa, even though I'm not tumah, but like we're saying with the goseis, like we're saying with the afer, like we're saying, one can make a case that...
How can you say I'm not...
What's so good about this svara is that the svara is basically saying it's not more machmer or more mekel, it's different. It's a different category. Now, where this would come from in Chumash is an interesting question. This would require some research. The Torah says, a nefesh lo yitama, right? Why should I assume that's a din of kreva? It is an interesting question, but Rav Shechter tries to show that perhaps it is a din of kreva lames. May say Akam also, we said, is telling in this. So based on the Shtinkel Torah, Rav Shechter, years and years ago, was Mekal, I think there's a tshuva actually in the Chelkas Yaakov, written to Rav Mordechai Gifter, about Kohanim flying over cemeteries also. I mean, the issue has been around for a while. Rav Shechter is the only one that came with this fancy Shtinkel Torah, that at least when you're high above the clouds, maybe it's not called Krev Ol Ames, and maybe there's a Svara Lahakel based on that. Lamaisa, I think... we are Mekel flying over the cemeteries into New York because it's a Suffolk Tuma in Rishas HaRabim, even though the Minchas Chinuch says you can be Tumah in the Suffolk Tuma, but what can we do? You put the Suffolk Tuma together with Mesei Akum. I think that some of the cemeteries they fly over in America are Mesei Akum, so there's more of a Svar Lahakum. It's not a Pashat issue. It's not Pashat. That's why they change the flight patterns in Eretz Yisrael, but I think the Lumdus is very good. And I thank you for listening. Yeah.